I would like to share with you the title of the message, and then right following that, I'd like to have David lead us in the song. And you have the papers there in front of you, Till the Storm Passes By. The title of the message, and I debated between two, and I chose to go with the Masters on Board. We're going to be talking about the sharing about the storm that the disciples went through out on the boat. And I debated between going with the Masters on Board or just the words, "Peace, be still." And so we're going to be talking some along those lines. And I thought of this song, and I would like to sing that song maybe at this point before I go into the message. So, Brother David, if you want to lead that song, and just kind of opening our hearts and our minds and our thoughts to this whole idea of the Master being in charge.
Have I all?
Would turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. We'll be reading verses 35 to 41. want to read something before I read that, and I'm sure this is probably something all of you have already heard of, but I want to just kind of paint this picture. There were two painters who had to portray their own views about peace. There were no other requirements nor standards as how they were going to impart their perspectives other than painting it the way they desire. The first painter painted a picture of a calm, placid river, trees that can convey serenity, flowers that speak about stillness, and on the overall ambience of pure tranquility. The sparkling blue water adds to the dimension and green grass glance on its beauty. The bright sun shines above them, and the birds of the air fly as if they transcend an impression of lightness and comfort of a seemingly perfect and quiet world. On the other hand, the second painter painted a contrasting atmosphere from that of the first artist. He painted a raging waterfall and an uproar of falling water and thunderous splashes when it reaches what is beneath is conveyed. Large rocks show their roughness and sturdiness as they let the furious water fall down on them. The sky hides the sun, making the whole picture dismal, and no birds are hovering on it. Gloomy trees stand on the steep cliffs, and plants and flowers bloom wither. But the atmosphere of the gloom and madness is conquered and seized by a striking detail of the masterpiece. On a particular tree, on top of the mountain where the waterfall comes from, is a nest, and on that nest is a bird peacefully sleeping. So that was the view of the two painters. And I think we understand that second painter really showed what peace is all about. In the midst of the turmoil, in the midst of the thunder of the water and no sunshine and just a rather bleak atmosphere, the bird is there on a nest, peaceful and resting. Let's read the account here in Mark chapter 4, and let's start at verse 35. On the same day when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." This was right after Jesus was sharing quite a few parables to many people there on the seaside. And now he tells the disciples, "Let us cross over to the other side." Verse 36, "Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, 'Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?' Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, 'Peace, be still.' And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, 'Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?' And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, 'Who can this be, that even the wind and the sea obey him?'" What a story. And as we just look at this story and just review it just a little bit, this whole idea of getting into this boat and moving across the sea was something that Jesus suggested. This was not something the disciples said, we're gonna go over to the other side, and Jesus went with them. Jesus told them to get in the boat, and he said, "Let's go across." And so Jesus, this was his idea. And I really believe that the Lord Jesus knew what they were going to encounter. He wanted to teach them yet another lesson. And so we see a very severe storm breaking out, and I imagine it came up quite suddenly. And it was at the point here that the boat was getting water in it, and it was at the point of sinking. The disciples were in a tough situation. Waves were possibly crashing over the boat. It talks about it here. Possibly this was at night. More than likely it was dark. Possibly there was dangerous lightning going on and much wind and waves. But at some point, the disciples finally awoke Jesus. At some point, someone said, "You know what? There's a man on board, Jesus, and let's wake him." And so they do that. That is one thing that they did that was right, is that they woke the Lord. I don't know how long it was until they got to that point. I don't know if they fought the waves. I don't know if they fought the sea and the sails on the boat. I don't know how much time they worked with this themselves, or if they were just hanging on for dear life. And finally, they cried out to him. But they did the right thing, and they did awake the Lord. And he gets up from his sleep, and he calms the storm. Look at the first question that they ask him. They didn't wake him and say, Lord, save us. Like later, maybe we'll look at, if we have time, look at Peter when he began to sink. But the first question that they asked Jesus was, don't you care? Don't you care? Here we are. We are about to lose our lives. And you're here sleeping. Don't you care? And sure, the Lord cares. And so he stilled the storm. He asked them then. He says, why are you so fearful? And then he asked them, where is your faith? Some very powerful questions that he gives to them. And you know, we can be very critical of the disciples here, and we say, why such fear? Why such turmoil? Why were they worried about things? Because Jesus was on board with them. He was right there. They had just experienced so many things coming from him, the teaching and the miracles that they had seen. And here this man Jesus was with them, and here they are afraid. And we can be critical. But you know, I can have some of those same attitudes, and I can experience some of those same things. And I know this man Jesus, but yet I fail to recognize him so often. We forget that the master is on board. I fight the wind and I fight the waves and I try to manage the sails. I don't know if we would be out here on the ocean today. I can imagine it would be quite a ride. If you can imagine sails being put up, it would be quite a ride to be out there all alone and to try to manage this wind that we see blowing out there. I don't know what your vessel is experiencing. I know what mine has experienced in the past, and I know where I am now. Each one of us knows what your vessel is experiencing. Maybe the waters are smooth for you presently. Maybe the waters are just maybe a little ripply. But maybe they're becoming somewhat choppy, or maybe you are in very turbulent waters. Maybe there's thunder and lightning in the distance, and you feel something brewing, a storm coming. The question that I give to you, and I ask myself, is do we realize that the master's on board, and have I awoken him? Is he awake? Not that the master is sleeping, not knowing what's going on. He is fully aware, but he wants us to speak to him. He wants us to cry out to him for the saving of our souls, for the strength that we need to carry on. We're going to look here at four words that I believe are, we looked at some words this morning in devotions, and we're going to look at a few more words. And I believe these words are very much a part of each one of our lives at different points in our lives as our vessel is sailing the ocean of life. And the first word is worry. The first word is worry. I come across a couple of quotes that are very powerful, and I want to share them with you. And then we're going to follow up with some scripture here as well. Worry is a circle of inefficient thought whirling about a pivot of fear. If you can picture that. Worry is a circle of inefficient thought whirling about a pivot of fear. It's all based from fear. And as we have fear in our lives, and then worry comes from that, and we get nowhere. Worry is a thin stream of fear trickling through the mind. Worry is a thin stream of fear trickling through our minds. If encouraged, it cuts a channel into which all thoughts drain. And that's how serious worry is. It becomes a channel to which all of our thoughts and our life just kind of goes right down that drain and ends up in disaster. Why worry about the shadows of life? Turn your face to the sun and you won't see them. We all know that when we're looking back and the sun's shining here, we look back, we see the shadow. And that shadow is quite big at times, very big. But if we're looking toward the sun, we don't see the shadow. It's there. We don't see it. And so let us keep our faces toward the sun. I had to think of the little song, and I think we're going to just sing it. I think you know it. It's kind of a children's song, but it's good. And it talks about worry. Why worry when you can pray? Do we know it? Good enough? Maybe? Those of us that know it, let's sing, and the rest of you will learn it real quick, okay? Why worry when you can pray? Trust Jesus, He'll be your stay. Don't be a doubting Thomas, trust fully on His promise. Why worry, 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 when you can pray? Short little song, but why worry, 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 when we can pray? And so often we worry, and pray is something that we do maybe eventually. The next word is anxiety. Look at the middle letter in anxiety, and it is the letter I. It is you. It is me. Anxiety. Anxiety is the advanced entrance you pay on troubles that seldom come. Thought that was good. Philippians 4:6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer. Here is this word, prayer. And supplication. With thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Anxiety, I think, is something that each one of us face from time to time. And it's something that so often in the end, we say, well, why were we anxious about that? The next word is troubled. Have you ever felt troubled? Look at your blessings with both eyes and your troubles with one. So often we look at things and we look at them with both eyes and we don't see anything else but just trouble ahead. And here we're asked to look at the blessings that are coming our way and not focus so much on the trouble that may seem that we are in. It takes troubled seas to make good captains. If a captain is on a boat and he never experiences a rough sea or rough ocean, he never is able then to maneuver the boat and to deal with the waves and the wind. But it takes troubled seas to make a captain a good captain. And I believe it's the same in our life. The troubles that come into our life, we don't have to look at them as just being awful, but let's take them and learn from them. And then I believe God will help us steer our vessel through the storm. Do you feel the strength of the anchor in waters that are troubled? You know, waters that are troubled, when the anchor is thrown, if that anchor is secured, you'll feel that. You'll feel that strength, and your boat is there, and it's anchored fast. So do you feel the anchor in the waters of your life that at times are troubled? If not, maybe we haven't thrown that anchor across. Maybe it's not thrown out. God wants us to anchor our hearts and our lives into Him, calling out to Him. The next word, and it's the last one, is fearful. And I'm sure there's many other words. And a lot of these words go right together. But the word of fear. Remember, we said fear is kind of the pivot for all these others that kind of circle around it. So we're going to spend a little bit more time on the word fear. Fearful. Faith in a captain. Thinking of a boat. Faith in the captain takes fear out of sailing stormy waters. Let's look at what Scripture shares about fear. I'm going to go down through here and read verse after verse that deals with worry, that deals with anxious moments, that deals with fear and anxiety. And I just want you to just listen to what these verses have to share and speak to us. If we could, I would like to read in Judges 7. Let's turn to that. Judges chapter 7. And it's a story there of Gideon as he faces the army. Judges 7, and let's start at verse 1, and we'll probably just skip a few verses. Judges 7, verse 1. Let's go to verse 2. And the Lord said to Gideon, "The people who are with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hand. Let Israel claim glory for itself against me, saying, Mine own hand has saved me. Now therefore proclaim in the hearing of the people, saying, whoever is fearful and afraid, let him turn and depart at once from Mount Gilead. Here he's asking for anybody that's fearful and afraid of going against the enemy to step aside. And here we have 22,000 people returned and 10,000 remained. So we have many people here that were very fearful and were afraid, and they stayed back. Now, we're going to have to, for the sake of time, let's just go all the way down to, and we understand then what God said, that's too many people. He told them to take them down to the brook and determine who to take with them by the way they drank water. And they were left with 300 people. Now, was Gideon afraid? Was Gideon afraid? Look here in verse 9. Let's go down to verse 9. And it happened on the same night that the Lord said to him, arise, go down against the camp. Now they're ready to move in for action. For I have delivered them into your hand. But if you are afraid to go down to the camp with Purah, your servant. And you shall hear what they say. And afterward, your hand shall be strengthened to go down against the camp. So Gideon, now it says, then he went down. So Gideon, at this point, was somewhat fearful because he moves on. The Lord said, if you're fearful, move on down. He said, you will hear something. So there is a sense of fear in his heart, but I believe he's moving on here in faith. And then it says, he went down with Purah, his servant, to the outpost of the armed men who were in the camp. And then he goes down there and he hears a man say in verse 13, I have heard a dream. To my surprise, a loaf of barley bread tumbled into the camp of Midian. And it came to a tent and struck it so that it fell and overturned and the tent collapsed. Then his companion answered and said, this is nothing else but the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. Into his hand God has delivered Midian and the whole camp. And then Gideon understands that this is of the Lord, and he moves ahead and conquers the enemy. But there was a sense of fear here. We see fear throughout this whole story. But yet Gideon obeyed God and moved on, and even at the very point of entering into that fight, he still has a little bit of fear, but he moved on, and he hears and he knows that there's victory because of what he heard. God hears us. If we move on to him and ask him for help, he will give us what we need. He will give us what Gideon received here so that we can move on with assurance that God is on our side and we are strong with him there. We can face whatever comes our way. Now, I'm going to read a number of verses here. Just sit there and listen to the verses that I read as it relates to fear and anxiety in our hearts and lives. Isaiah 35:4. Say to those who are of fearful hearted, be strong, do not fear. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. Joshua 1:9, have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage? Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Wherever you go, God is there with you. Psalms 27, verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? And it goes on then. Psalm 56, 11. In God I have put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do to me. Isaiah 44, 8. Do not fear, nor be afraid. Have I not told you from that time and declared it? You are my witnesses. Is there a God besides me? Indeed, there is no other rock. I know not one. Ezekiel 2:6. This one is powerful. And you, son of man, do not be afraid of them, nor be afraid of their words. Though briars and thorns are with you, and you dwell among scorpions, do not be afraid of their words, or dismayed by their looks, though they are a rebellious house. Two more verses. Luke 12:4. And I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. Proverbs 3:24. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. Yes, you will lie down, and your sleep will be sweet. You know, when I go to bed, what do I take with me to bed as I'm drifting off to sleep? What goes with me? Is it trouble? Is it anxiety? Is it worry? So often it can be. God says, give those to me and I will allow you to rest in peace. Matthew 14, we can't go there because of time, but there's an account of Peter and he steps out onto the water. And for a short period of time, he's walking on the water. I think he experienced a sense of trust and faith. But it wasn't long, and I don't know what all he felt, but he felt possibly the wind, and he's seen the waves. And immediately, he started looking round about him and lost sight of the master, and down he went. And he cries out immediately and asks God to save him. And the Lord reaches out his hand and takes care of the situation. Each one of us faces storms of life, and it's important that we weather the storm and not the storm weather us. How well are you facing whatever you're facing? What are the waves that are crashing against your vessel? Worry, doubt, anxiety, fear. Are any of these a part of your life? And if they are, friends, there is a man on board that is willing to calm that ocean. Let's just talk about a few things that can move us into the thoughts of anxiety and worry. What about your own health? Have you ever been worried about that? Or the health of a loved one? I had to think of years ago, probably 18, 19 years ago now, my father was diagnosed with cancer. And it did not sound good. The cancer was in his colon, had spread. He was going to have to go through chemo. The doctor, it just wasn't sounding good. My father is still with us 18 years later. But there was times that, and I even now have to deal with things as I look at some of those situations. And whenever my father becomes ill or has a certain ache or pain, you know, immediately we're thinking, well, it's probably cancer. And we can worry, and I can worry about it. But I faced that early on. I spent a lot of time where I couldn't really enjoy life because I worried so much about my dad. I have a wonderful relationship with my father, so he means a lot to me. And so I would find myself just worrying and fretting about some of these things. Cancer. What does that word bring to you? Does it bring fear? Does it bring worry? And so often for me it does, as we think of that aspect of life. And we can worry and fret about some of those things. And God really doesn't want that. Are you anxious ever about what the future holds? I can at times become very worried or discouraged about what the future looks like. It looks rather dim. Just yesterday or the day before, we received in the mail a magazine that we've subscribed to, and it's World. It's a Christian magazine. It's called World, and it kind of keeps you updated with the things that are happening in the world. And I enjoy the magazine somewhat, but I get it. And just the other day, I read through it, and it didn't bring any warm, fuzzy feelings whatsoever. You know, rather more of a cold, empty, despaired feeling of what's this world coming to? Story after story, situation after situation that, you know, we can look at and we'll say, what's going to happen? And we can become fearful. We look at our governments failing and economy failing and you know, our freedoms. Do we have what we want? Are they going to be taken away? Predictions that people have of this and that happening, and we can become bogged down very quickly. And the devil can distract us and have us to despair. What do I do with all the bad news? There's not just a whole lot of good news out there as it relates to the society around us. But yet, the Bible is full of good news, and that's where I think we need to find ourselves more. It's there. There is many good things happening and will happen as we commit it to the Master on board. Do I worry fret about these things, or do I go to the master and ask him to take care of that situation? What about a lost son or daughter, maybe that you have, or a brother or sister, or a father or mother that is lost and you worry and you fret? I think there's a difference between worry and being concerned. I don't want you to get that idea. I think we need to be concerned with people that are lost, very much so. We need to pray for them. But I don't believe the Lord wants us to lose our own faith and our own happiness just because of something like this either. They need to see the peace and the happiness that's coming from our lives, and maybe God can use that then to draw them to you. And so those of you that are in that situation, I pray that God will give you the courage to stand and to be able to have somewhat of a peace in the midst of that turmoil in your life. Give that concern, that worry to the Lord, and He will then guide you and give you a peace. I believe that's, in some ways we say, well, we can't. But I believe God is there, and He will give that. He wants you to experience peace and happiness, even in the midst of a very difficult situation like this. So there is a difference between worry and concern. We need to be concerned about the things of life, and we need to trust the Father. Maybe there's a poor relationship in your life. Maybe the waves of your boat are one of these situations where a close friend, whoever that may be, has somewhat spoken bad against you, or has left you, and you're facing a situation that is very difficult. Has that wave rocked your boat? It will. It can. What about a mother in a home that's dealing with the needs of the children and trying to get everything else done, the house clean, the clothes washed, and on, and we say, oh, the little children, you know, but that can rock your boat as well. It can make your day go rough, and it can make the next day go rough, and the next day rougher if we don't take it to the Lord. It seems that at times all we do is fight the wind and the waves, and we just get plain tired, and we're ready to quit. But God wants us to realize He is on board and He is in control. We must take our burdens and our cares to Him. For you mothers, this is Jesus' words to Martha, Luke 10. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. But one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her. Remember, the important things of life are maybe not the important things that you think are important, but it's what God sees there. It's the little things. And it's okay if the big things that you think need to be done don't get done. How are you as fathers? How am I as a father weathering the storm that may be rocking my boat? Maybe you're coming up short with the finances that you need to keep your family in a comfortable place. Maybe work is not there. Maybe the future looks, I don't know what's going to happen as it relates to work. Maybe you just feel like you failed in the home. We've all been there. We failed. We failed our family, our wives, and our children. And that's a wave that can just majorly take us down if we don't cry out to the Father for the strength and the courage. We must wake the Master. He is there. He is there to guide us along the way. For you fathers, I don't have time to read it, but I want you to take Matthew 6, verses 25 to 34, and take those and read them as you maybe are struggling with the thing of, can I support the family? We don't have what it takes. And what's the future hold? Here's one verse from there. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. So take that and read that. What about you young people? How well are the storms that you're maybe facing going through? Maybe God's plan for you is, you're troubled with that. Maybe you've been seeking for direction. God hasn't given it to you. You're not experiencing victory in a certain area where you struggled and struggled, and that wave just keeps crashing and and becomes bigger. Ways of discouragement. God wants to take it and relieve you of that. He will only do that if we cry out to Him. 1 Peter 5, verse 5 through 7. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves, be submissive to one another, and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. We forget so quick of the promises that God's Word has that it relates to our lives. Listen to what this says in Ephesians. Now unto Him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Those are three words. Exceedingly, abundantly, and above all. And this is the God we serve. He is willing, and He will take that vessel of yours and keep it on course. You know, this whole thing of fear and worry and anxiety does not come from the Master, the Lord Jesus Christ. It comes from our enemy. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear or a spirit of anxiety or worry." He's not given us a spirit of fear, but He's given us this, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And then in 1 John 4:18 says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love." And God is love. And when we understand that and we go to Him, He will bring, I believe, that peace and that spirit that we so desire and so often we struggle with. And we will struggle with it, but we must go to the Father, to the Master that is on board. Two verses here that I would like to leave with you in closing is found in John 14:27. It says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled." There's the word troubled. And then it said, "Neither let it be afraid." God wants us to experience peace. And we can have that peace only from the Master that's on board. "Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." And then Isaiah 26:3 says, "You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in you." You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. I have a song that I'm going to have John play on the system here. It's a song that probably most of you have never heard. It's a song that has spoken to me very strongly back quite some time ago, months ago, and felt God leading me to this message through the song. And so I want you to just listen to the words of this song, maybe with your heads bowed. And it's the story of the disciples, and their vessel was tossed to and fro. And then God, Jesus, is awoken. And the chorus is just powerful in this song. And Jesus kind of is speaking. The writer of this song says he can imagine that Jesus is telling them not to look at the storm, not to look at the waves, not to experience the wind, not to reach for the sails, but rather look to the Master that's asleep on the boat. So let's have that song at this time. Maybe we can just bow our heads and listen to that, and then we'll have a prayer.
The disciples were sailing on a boat one dark night, when a storm tossed their ship to and fro. Desperate and ready to give up the fight, for down they were sure they would go. Then somebody shouted from the back of the boat, "Wake the Master, lest we perish and die!"
When Jesus awoke to the wild storm he spoke, it's as if I can hear his reply. Don't ever look at the clouds, though the waves are crashing round you so loud. Don't listen to send to the wind. Hear a whisper of peace from
small voice from within.
Don't
desperately reach
for the sail, for surely your vessel
will fail.
When you vainly have tried to find
peace in the storm, look behind you for the Master's on board.
Have you weathered the tempest on the wild sea of life? Is your vessel about to go down? Are you taking on waters of worry and strife? Does peace seem nowhere to be found? Just remember the promise Jesus said, never fear, for I'll be with you everywhere. When you've looked up and down, left and right, all around, call the Master, for he's already there.
Don't ever look at the
dark, angry clouds, though the waves are crashing round you so
loud.
Don't
listen to
send to the rain. Hear a whisper of peace from
small voice from within.
Don't
desperately reach
for the sail, for surely your vessel will fail.
Ship will fail.
When you vainly have tried to
find peace in the storm, look behind you for the Master's on board.
When you vainly have tried to
find peace in the storm,
look behind you for the Master's on board.
Thank you, Father, that you're on board. And that we don't have to fight. It all alone. We thank you that there's peace in the storm. You know, whatever anyone is facing, we pray, God, that they would experience the peace that you give. Even though the future and the struggles ahead look big, that you are much bigger, and that we would be much quicker to awake you and ask you to guide us and to take our vessel and to give us a safe landing. We commit our hearts and lives to you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the many scriptures that give us the assurance that we don't have to have the fear and the worry and the things that take us down, but we can give them to you. That fear comes from the enemy, and that love and peace come from knowing you and that you are there. So whatever anyone is facing, we pray, God, that you would give them that peace and that courage to cry out to you and experience the Master that's on board. Go with us and keep us We pray this in your worthy name. Amen.